the vault. High atop the pastoral center of the Diocese of Camden, you're listening to Talking Catholic.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Talking Catholic. I'm Jen Morrow, and with me, as always, Mike Walsh.
I really want to change that, by the way. I feel
what?
Like I think you know, we've done a lot of podcasts together now over the last couple of years. I think you occasionally need a different co-host.
Oh, I thought you were saying my intro. I thought you were gonna pick up because I sometimes have like that pitchy dog noise, like "Hi, everybody."
No, I think the listeners get a break from me once a month when, you know, Mike Bress and Marianela Nunez are on to talk about Catholic school related stuff.
Okay.
But that, you know, I feel like, you know, I've listened to your other bogus podcast.
You have?
Yes.
More than once?
Yeah. I got to say, Domestic Church Media does a great job of forcing me to look at it on their video feed.
Or
Their Facebook feed.
They do a good job.
Yeah. Shout out to Jim Manfredonia, who does a great job marketing all the Domestic Church Media content.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, you show up and your co-hosts show up multiple times. And on the last episode, you had Don Ottavio and O'Britt. So it was like a cacophony of voices I hear in my head every day. And I was like, now it's coming after me on social media. But it got me to thinking, you know, you've gotten good at, you know, working with another co-host, and I'm starting to think like who could be, you know, because I work a lot and, you know.
Oh, and I don't.
No. My point was, occasionally I'd like to be away from time to time.
I hear you.
It would help you to have a, another reliable co-host.
Sometimes I pair up with Mike Bress. Trying to get Mark Zamorro back on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, he'd be great.
Mr. Sports, that would be fun.
Actually, today's guest might even work out.
Today's guest could work out.
Yeah, that might we'll bring him on later.
Let's see what other things we can sign him up for before we introduce him.
He seems very open to new ideas, so I'm happy about this.
Agreed.
New projects.
Agreed.
But you did another great job, another bang-up job, you and our colleagues on the Catholic Star Herald staff, putting together a great publication this week. And this one should be the publication everybody loves to read because it's all about our seminarians,
mm-hmm.
our wonderful, lovely, cherubic, angelic, saintly seminarians. They are irritatingly kind and
they
nice.
They are so kind. I'll be honest. I have never gotten to know so many seminarians as much as I have here in the diocese, and they are all extremely kind.
They really are. And go out of their way to, like, you know, I was at the, I forget if we talked about this on the podcast. I don't think we did. Bishop Sullivan was honored recently by the seminary on Seton Hall's campus, the Immaculate Conception Ceremony, St. Andrew's Hall, I think, specifically. Mm-hmm. And as they have a Notes of Distinction event every year that's a fundraiser for the school, for the seminary. And he was honored as a for his lifetime achievement or award recipient, something like that. I'm a communications guy. You probably should have the facts in mind, but he got a nice award. And I got to be up there, and all the seminarians were there, along with a number of diocesan people who came up to support Bishop. And it was just lovely having not only our seminarians, but the seminarians from the other dioceses around, just flitting around, doing stuff, having fun. I was competing with one of the seminarians all night.
What?
Yes, one of our seminarians was Thea, was the photographer for the seminary.
Okay.
So literally, it was just a whole lot of me shooting above him, below him, him just constantly getting in my way. No, just kidding. Actually, he was doing a really nice job. I haven't seen his photos yet, but he was getting all the same shots.
We should do a side by side.
Really should.
Like a lineup.
I fear that his are better than mine.
If they are, we can hire him as a freelance photographer.
I'm more than happy to put the seminarians to work.
I thought you were going to be like competing maybe on like who knows the most Marvel knowledge, which of course I would bet on you, of course.
Thank you, mm-hmm. as you should. Theo and I have never talked about the entertainment. So we'll have to
ask him.
Yeah, we'll have to have him on and have a whole deep dive on everything except theology. just in seminary.
That's because he'll beat us both real quick on the theology.
Probably. But anyway, it was a great event, and it was lovely to be around all the seminarians, and it was just sort of, it was good timing that I got to spend so much time with them, and they are truly all lovely people, so accommodating. It was nice because they were sort of the ushers, and one of our guys was the MC, or a co-MC, and it was just really a lovely evening, and then to be able to read all of their stories in the paper this week, which were so well written, soup to nuts, just beautifully. I can't believe what great writers they are.
Yes.
And if you're wondering why that pause was there, because the editor did a lot of work this week, but she did it turning their prose into great content. So that was, it was really wonderful stuff.
Actually, I all of them wrote, like you said, there's nine total, since we have the a transitional deacon that's getting ready to be ordained. Mm-hmm. So there were nine total, plus Father Adam, plus some special guests, and which will be mentioned shortly. And yeah, everybody's story was different. That's what I really liked about this year, because not everybody was sharing a vocation story. Some of them were just about how life is going at the seminary, how it was different than what they had experienced growing up, because, you know, one of the young men was saying it was, he was just grew up in a small family, and now he's living with, you know, 16 people and the learning curve. So each story is shockingly different and very enjoyable.
I also appreciate the fact that instead of just having headshots of each of the guys, we also included sort of action shots of them in the community, which was really, it was nice to see, because they really, it's, first of all, when the seminarians, and I hope this is true for all seminarians, when the seminarians are out in public, they get flocked to, because people just love to talk to them and see them and wish them well and let them know that they're praying for them and things like that. Mm-hmm. But they're very engaging folks. They are the reason that I've come to realize that not only could I never be a priest for a lot of reasons, I cannot be a member of the clergy in any capacity, because they are so open to talking to people and engaging with people. And when I see people, as you well know, mm-hmm. I want to go to the other side of the street.
Right. And but, you do.
And I do.
I mean, seriously. You have literally turned around and walked away from me.
Yeah. Yeah, that has happened. Like, if it's too early in the morning, I see Jen come, it's like, I'm going on the other side of the building.
No.
But these guys are I'm hoping that this is the beginning of a path for them to really be very special priests in our diocese. So it was great to be a part of.
Well, the vocations issue is one of my favorite issues of the year, actually. That, and believe it or not, the graduation issue. I don't, not believe it or not, because I don't like our high schools. I love our high schools, just because of how much work it is. Right. But it's always beautiful.
So, isn't that always the case? The thing you work hardest on, you know, and the thing you probably have maybe uttered one or two crosswords about in your life, but when it's all finished, you're like, oh boy, that's a nice piece of business.
But the vocations issue I love because of the content. The graduation issue I love for the content and the photos, because it's always beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not all mine this time. Some were submissions, and they turned out really well. Mm-hmm.
For the vocations issue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Matter of fact, we had a couple of ones of our seminarians smiling so broadly. It's really nice.
A lot of those are World Youth Day. Yeah. And I love seeing them with, like, their counterparts from around the different... Is it Theo? Maybe it is Theo that was talking about in his column about... meeting Germans and praying in German together. So read that one, because it was really cute too.
Okay. So if you would like to learn more about our seminarians, or would like to see what seminarians do in general and sort of what inspires them and brings them to their calling, you know, check out this week's Catholic Star Herald and go to CatholicStarHerald.org. I think all of the stories will be online at some point. But even more importantly, look at the newspaper, you know, and get a subscription to the newspaper. Our newspaper is shockingly inexpensive. For an annual subscription of $21, you get 36 copies, something like that.
36 copies. I like that. 36 issues a year.
There you go. For $21, right?
Yeah.
Is that what it is currently?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying it. People do get your subscriptions now, because I am totally jacking up the price on this the second I get the opportunity. So get your subscriptions now while they're at the low, low price of $21 a year.
For our parishioners, yes.
For our parishioners. Mm-hmm. Why? What's the regular price? $27? You literally have a copy. Okay, it's $27 for the normal
people? No, I'm pretty sure it's $30. Yeah, $30.
$30? Okay, it's $30. There you go. Listen, I'm just the associate publisher. I have much smarter people to handle the numbers end of this. But yeah, for the low, low price of $30 a year, which I will still be raising at some point, lock in now and get your subscription, because it's outstanding. And it's mailed directly to your house. And the content is unbelievable. We get awards for this stuff. So by all means, please read it.
And the photography.
Oh, yeah. The photography is really good, too.
But the content is spectacular.
Yeah, and occasionally I write for it, too.
Yeah, you do.
Very occasionally.
Same here.
Yeah. I mean, your stuff is good, too. Right.
Right. So we should also mention the ordinations that are coming up.
Oh, yeah. Listen, if you like seminarians, you're going to love priests, because that's eventually what they become. And so we're having two sets of ordinations in the Diocese of Camden very soon for some of these seminarians. Two of them are being ordained transitional deacons, Timmy and Tommy. Tom Piro and Tim Mulrainen are going to be, let's see, that's May 11th in Seattle City at 10:30 in the morning. I will be there. We will be live streaming it. So if you can't be there, by all means, feel free to watch it on the live stream. And we do enjoy live streaming these things. Me and John Kalitz love spending our weekends together doing this stuff. And then the following weekend, Deacon Ricardo, whose name I can't remember, Lozano Cruz, is being ordained a priest of the Diocese of Camden on May 18th at 10:30 a.m. at the Cathedral in Camden. And once again, we will also be live streaming that as well. But there is one of the wonderful parts of coming to an ordination is getting the first place blessings after these new members of the clergy have become ordained, and it's a big deal to get their first blessing. And the next day, at least for Deacon Ricardo, you also get to go to his first Mass, which is also a big deal, which I think I'll also be live streaming that as well for Deacon Ricardo, since he has family in Colombia. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it's a lot of great stuff. Everyone who goes to an ordination is oftentimes blown away by it and many times changed by it. And it will be amongst the best homilies you'll ever hear Bishop Sullivan give. And he's already great at giving homilies, but those ordination homilies, he talks right to the men.
They're so personal.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like I'm like a fly on the wall getting to hear like a father talk to a son. It is so beautiful.
That's exactly how he considers it. And he spends days, weeks, maybe crafting them. It's really impressive. And he does it from the seated position, so he's very comfortable while he's up there. And it is very fatherly. It's really impressive. So I would encourage anyone to come to it, but certainly watch it on the live stream. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Good stuff.
Thank you.
I also just wrote down, if you love seminarians, you're going to love priests, because that's what they become. Because I want to... Just got to keep that one for a while.
There you go.
That's really
good. Add that to your book of stuff you're writing down.
Walshisms.
Yeah. But yeah. No. Listen, we want them to be wonderful. That's the goal, is for them to become great priests. And part of that is getting to know them now. And the seminary, you know, we've talked to Father Adam and Father Josh about this, the vocations directors. You know, being part of the community and meeting the people and talking to the people is important to their development, so they understand the nature of being a priest, and it really does inform them. And seminary is difficult, so knowing that they're kind of getting that sort of feedback of seeing everybody, it really does make an enormous difference. So please do it.
So,
and I'm being earnest right now, and that never happens.
That's true. So speaking about vocations, I think it's time to introduce our guest.
I do.
Who also has a vocation.
Yes.
So who we have with us today is Deacon Dean Johnson, and he serves at Church of the Holy Family in Sewell.
Hello.
Hi. It's good to have you on the show.
Good to have you. It's very hard to be quiet while you guys banter like that. I just want to jump in.
We get that a lot. One time we had somebody crying. They were laughing so hard without coming on.
And some people just ignore the don't talk yet and just chime in.
Right. I almost did.
Yeah.
You showed excellent self-control. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Especially on they become priests eventually.
Yes, right? I mean, that was a classic. That should be the new vocation.
That's a t-shirt, bumper sticker.
Yes.
Please, somebody.
Talk to Kalitz.
I'll talk to Kalitz and have that passed along to Father Adam and Father Josh.
Please do.
So, Deacon, thank you very much for joining us today. We unfortunately, for reasons I don't have a good answer for, we don't get to have deacons on the podcast very often. I can only count like three, maybe.
It is unfortunate.
We have a lot of great deacons in the diocese.
There's a lot of great deacon stories.
Yeah, they really are.
Yeah.
And they're very unique. Mm-hmm. There's no similarity between a seminarian story and a deacon story. It's always... There's always a lot of drama in deacon stories, and that's what I like.
You wouldn't even jump like a drama for
me. I had faith in you. I had faith that you'd be praying for it. So tell us, first of all, how long have you been a deacon?
So I was ordained in October 24th, 2020. So it'll be only 4 years this October, right in the middle of the pandemic.
Oh, wow.
It was, speaking of ordinations, a memorable event, unforgettable. But being in the pandemic was even more unforgettable. We were only allowed to have like 6 guests. Whereas you go to, if you go to the ordination on the, 18th, it's going to be packed.
Yeah.
Right? We had to wear masks, and we as a group, so I was ordained with 12 other men, and we purchased a mask with the diaconate cross on it.
Nice.
So that was kind of cool.
That is cool.
But yeah, it was kind of odd, you know, during that. But so yeah, it'll be 4 years this October.
Congratulations. But But the actual process started long before that, right?
The process started long before that. It's a five and a half year process altogether. It starts, you know, with an aspirancy, and then candidacy, and then you go. So yeah, it was like 5 years of schooling. Really, we would have in the Diaconate Center in Camden, the old Sacred Heart.
Yeah.
We would have Tuesday, Thursday classes taught by deacons, priests, and it was fantastic, and then we would have like one Saturday a month where we would just talk more of spiritual things as opposed to the more intellectual side of things, for learning Old Testament, New Testament, Catholic theology, moral theology, social justice, Christology, go on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was thinking about the class sizes when you were saying how many, you said.
So we had 12.
12.
But we're a perfect number, by the way.
Right.
You know, naturally, of course.
Naturally.
But I was just struck by, the difference, but we're blessed when we have, five or six priests being ordained. So 12 deacons, is that normal for that kind of?
Well, there was a large gap in time between our group and this group who's currently, I think they're going to be ordained sometime in 25, maybe May of 25.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I forget the number of them, but I think there might be 15 or 16 of those.
Yeah.
But there was a 6 year gap with nothing. Nobody, there was no group behind us. So in front of us, there was a group maybe every year, every other year.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden it was us and then nothing.
Yeah.
There were no vocations. So it's nice to see, them getting back again. And I do believe they have another group coming in.
Yeah, it's weirdly cyclical.
Encouraging.
Since the time I've been here, it's these weird cycles of you get a glut, and then you don't get any for a little while, then you get a glut, then you get any for a little while. The next group is nice too, because it's very diverse.
Yeah.
It's a lot of Hispanic guys in there too, which is rare, actually. Mm-hmm. We don't have a lot of Hispanic, ordained Hispanic deacons right now.
Right.
So it's great.
I remember meeting one of the men that's going to be coming up in 2025, you said, right? Mm-hmm. Also a Hispanic man. And I remember speaking with him and his wife, and they were actually discussing how the diaconate actually maybe kind of turns into a family affair, because the family's along with you on the ride to being a diaconate. Is that something that you experience?
Well, the wife holds all the power. The wife has to agree, has to write a letter to the bishop saying that I give my permission for my husband to become a deacon. So fortunately, my wife was in most of the classes. So the wives were invited to the classes, and she attended all of them, which she giggled when I would have to take a test. She could just sit there and look at me and go, I don't have to take that. But I was blessed that she wanted to participate. So it was very family. We would come home and just, couldn't go to sleep because we were talking about what we had learned, and we're just, and talking to our kids about it. And they were all very, I have five children,
mm-hmm.
And they're all very supportive.
Oh man, I can only imagine like how that would help everybody grow in faith, because if you're all speaking about this a similar thing, like those conversations, like you said, much just gone into the night.
Well, it's funny, my 6-year-old grandson, he talks about my homily all the time, and I was like, what did you hear? And he'll say like something like, you mentioned baseball. Okay. Something completely irrelevant. But it's like, okay, that's cool. I'll take it.
That's cute.
Well, that's one of the joys of the diaconate is the ability to preach. I'm at a parish right now where I don't get a lot of diaconate preaching, and I kind of miss it, because you're getting a different perspective on our faith and our culture from someone who's living a secular life as a clergy member. And it really, I find that they tend to shine, a different light in different areas than maybe the priest would. Is that something you've sort of
Yeah, I'm very fortunate that I have a pastor who, allows me to preach minimally once a month, sometimes twice if, during Holy Week, Good Friday, I was able to preach.
Nice.
I can bring my family perspective, my children, the experiences that you have, good and bad, with the kids, the craziness of that, teaching life, secular life, bringing into that. And I think, people can connect. I'm not saying people can't connect with what the priest is saying. I think they absolutely can.
Sure.
But that perspective of, the family man, if you will.
So let's talk about your journey a little bit. I will admit that actually your pastor and I, before I took the job in the diocese, your current pastor, he and I had a discussion about me joining the diaconate. And we went to dinner in Cherry, or went to lunch in Cherry Hill, had a big, long conversation about it. It was really impactful. And it helped me to realize that, no, I was not made to be a deacon.
You know, it's funny, because if that were the approach that I got, I would probably be the same thing. Yeah. I'd probably just like, don't wine me and dine me. So, So I was a lapsed Catholic for quite some time. As a matter of fact, my wife and I met in a Methodist church. So, you know, we were church hopping all over the place and found, you know, something was missing. You know, later, of course, we realized it's the presence of Christ in the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. So at one point, you know, we finally decided to, you know, go back to the Catholic Church, go back. Sherry went through, my wife, went through RCIA. I had about a half hour confession with a priest, you know, coming back. And, you know, we got immediately involved, teaching CCD. I got involved in music ministry, lector, you know. So, mm-hmm. you know, I've always, you know, I did vacation Bible school, things like that. So I was always involved. And we were at Mary Mother of Mercy was my home parish. It was Queen of Peace in Pittman and Lady Lourdes in Glassboro, and they merged together. Mm-hmm. So I had a priest come up to me in the parking lot. He goes, you know, Dean, I think you would make a great deacon. And I laughed and laughed and laughed. I literally belly laughed right in the poor guy's face. I'm like, no, a guy like me is not a deacon. Mm. You know, it's just not. I'm just not. So, okay, you know. And then, you know, just over maybe a six-month period, it kept coming back to me, And they say, like, you know, a seed grows, and it really does. I mean, it sounds cliche, but, you know, so I'm talking to my wife. I'm like, well, you know, they're having this meeting. Like, you know, she goes, yeah, like, you know, what do you think? I think you try it out, you know. Mm-hmm. It's discernment means discerning, you know. Start going, and if it doesn't feel right, it doesn't feel right. At the time, I was teaching at Rhone University. I was teaching as an adjunct creative writing. And nice. The diaconate was on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Well, all my classes were on Tuesdays and Thursdays, so I ended up stopping to do that. To start diaconate. And the more classes I took, the more I learned about our church, the more I fell in love with her.
Yeah.
You know, and the more I understood things. I started reading encyclicals and started reading the church fathers. And it's just like, you know, you talk about conversion and then your conversion and then another conversion. And then you're just growing and growing to the point where this is like, why hadn't I done this a long time ago?
Yeah.
You know, or like, you know, I've always had this and just didn't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we would look forward to those classes going. I miss it. I mean, I've been, you know, I'll be 4 years a deacon now, and I miss those classes, you know, just that growing. And then, you know, but, you know, I mean, through reading and other things, we can do that. But just that, you know, that moment of falling in love, you know, it's amazing. And now I'm a deacon, and now I can share that. And I love being a deacon. I mean, it's great. You know, Holy Family is a fantastic place. The parishioners are amazing. I've never felt uncomfortable one day being there. Even the first day, people were, you know, greeting me, and it's just, you know, and I can just, you know, get involved in whatever, in a ministry, mm-hmm. you know, which I'm, it's a bunch of them, but it's wonderful.
For those who don't know, what are some of the aspects that a deacon can do?
So, you know, well, one of my favorite aspects, baptisms. I love doing baptisms. As they're just like, it's joyous. The families are there. The children are there. And they, you know, some scream, some cry, some look at you like, what the heck are you doing to me right now? You know? It's great. So, yeah, we do baptisms. You know, funerals. We can, you know, serve at funerals outside of the Mass. The committal rite, one of my, you know, deepest memories is my aunt, my mother's mother, passed away a while ago, and the family asked me to serve, you know. So this was down at St. Vincent's, I called Father Marsh. He was down there, and he was like, oh, absolutely, you know, ask permission. No, absolutely. He goes, do you want to do the homily too?
Oh.
And I'm like, okay. He goes, you think family would want that? Well, yeah, I guess they would. I was not prepared for that at all. But I mean, I had time to prepare. But it was wonderful. Really? You know, I could, you know, lay up my aunt to rest. You know, I was able to do the graveside right. It was just so impactful, you know. So, you know, that is impactful. We can, you know, obviously we do, you know, that during Mass, mm-hmm. serving, helping during Mass, mm-hmm. Weddings, any wedding outside of the Mass, convalidations. So convalidation is when people are not, Catholics are not married in the church itself.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always wonderful to do as well.
Yeah. So. Wait a second, that sounds familiar.
I feel like well, I and it's funny because I had that done. So since so my wife and I got married in a Bible church, and so after she went through RCIA, we had our marriage invalidated. Mm-hmm. So you know, we went through that as well, which is kind of cool because now I can relate to those people who are coming back. You know, and that's what you said too about a diaconate homily versus a priestum. You know, so I've gone through this process. My wife went through RCIA process. So when I'm talking to them, and I'm talking, happened like last year, I had people talking to me about marriage convalidation. The non-Catholic ended up going through RCIA this year, mm-hmm. and she's now Catholic. Nice. You know, so it's really cool.
My husband and I also had convalidation, mm-hmm. And not only was it beautiful, like you said, it was kind of a way to evangelize, mm-hmm. To others who maybe don't understand the Catholic Church. Yeah. So,
and baptism is a great time to evangelize, you know, because you have, and I've had somebody come up to me. He's like, well, I'm a Presbyterian, or I'm a, you know, and I kind of understand now because, you know, they have these preconceived notions of what the Catholic Church is, you know, mm-hmm. if we pray to the saints, what do you pray to the saints for? You know, but if I explain it, they're like, oh, okay, like, pray for me. I'll pray for you. Mm-hmm. You know, let's have St. Mark, whose day is today, pray for each one of my go-tos.
Oh, there you go. Nice.
You know, have them pray for you as well. You know, they're like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah,
like, yeah. Come to the Catholic Church. Come home.
You know, that's true. You know, that's something Bishop Sullivan talks about all the time, is that, you know, when you have these big events, regardless of what the event is, a funeral, a wedding, you know, an ordination, any of these things, you're going to get a lot of non-Catholics or lapsed Catholics there. This is your opportunity to invite them back. So don't be hostile to them. Don't be, you know, don't make it more problematic for them to come back. Don't make them feel bad about it. Encourage them to come back. Give them the opportunities. It may not happen for another 6 months or a year or something like that, but if you lay that groundwork by being welcoming and showing them the beauty that is the church and being a part of it, you know, it really welcomes them back in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you think that some of the gifts you have as a deacon translate into you teaching? You said RCIA, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, so as a profession, I'm a teacher, you know, so I think that helps a lot. But I think it was Mike was saying, you know, like, you know, he can't talk to people and he can't listen to people. I think that's what I got out of it.
Nailed it. 100% nailed it.
You know, walking to the other side of the street. That's your next bumper sticker. As a, you know, as a deacon, you know, you're doing the opposite. You're walking across the street to the person, you know, and I think, you know, gifts and talents. It's a, you know, a matter of, you know, listening, stopping. And believe me, you know, like a deacon isn't just a deacon on Sunday. It's not a part-time job. A deacon is not, you know, the things that I do that I mentioned, the, you know, weddings, baptism, funerals. It's who, you know, it's who you are. And, you know, I know I do a lot of diaconate service in my job, listening to students. You know, they don't know that, you know, that I'm doing diaconate, you know, because, I mean, I'm in a public school, I'm not going to say anything, you know, I'm like, oh, this is, no, it's not dogmatic or anything like that.
Right.
But it's, you know, who you are, it's stopping, it's listening, it's not saying, and I'll talk to you later. It's saying, you know, I have something to do, but I'm going to put that on hold so that I can, you know, cross the side of the street, you know, and listen. So I think a lot of that is helpful in RCIA, you know, honesty, you know, being like, you know, telling my honest story, you know. You know, not trying to be, I don't want to say overly pious, but overly pious, you know, being truthful, natural, comfortable. And once they get comfortable, they're excited about it. Yeah.
So just as a priest is a priest, that is his way of life, mm-hmm. a deacon, that is your way of life.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It is a way of life, and there is no getting away from it. And it's just who you are. And part of it, I believe, it is part of, you know, the graces that we receive at Holy Orders. Mm-hmm. You know, it's those graces that, you know, give us the ability to do that. You know, I don't know if I could have done it without it. Yeah. Because I used to be a street crosser as well, you know. It's easy.
So there's hope for me, you're saying?
The idea of being aloof, you know, is wonderful. You know, the Irish exit from the gatherings, right? Where you just sneak off.
Yeah.
You know, my language.
But now, but now it's just like stopping, listening, you know, judgmental free, and, you know, allowing them, you know, and then pointing them in the directions. I don't have the answers, you know, mm-hmm. but I can find you your resources, or I can help you find resources. I can help you find where you can find those answers.
Do you feel like those strengths were hidden in you, that that the diaconate process brought out, or were these things you learned as part of the diaconate process?
Yeah, all the above.
Okay.
I think a little of both. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I do believe that the graces definitely, push things out to the upper, echelon. I think, these skills that I had learned in college or learned through trial and error while teaching, mm-hmm. What worked, what didn't work. Mm-hmm. But then again, before I would have to listen. So I'd have somebody come to me, Mr. Johnson, I got something to tell you. And my stomach starts just tightening up because I'm thinking, this is my prep. I want to get a snack. I want to get, some water. I want to take a walk. I want to do this. I want to do this. But now I'm sitting here listening, whereas I think the grace is, take that away and saying, no, this is who you are now. You'll get water later, eventually. You'll that kind of thing. So I think the grace has helped with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because listening to you, I'm remembering more of those conversations I had with Father Jim Bartoloma about, in that discussion. And I'm convinced, by the way, that I made the right choice of not becoming a dean. I really do think
the more I get to know you, so am I.
Yeah, trust me. Everyone agrees with that. You're in good.
There are so many quotables on this podcast today.
You are in good company, I assure you. But listening to you, I do hope that people who do feel like they may have these gifts in them, I hope they'll consider it, because I really do think the diaconate is a wonderful opportunity for men who are not, have no intention of being priests, right, but to be able to serve in some capacity in a spiritual way in the church. My service to the church, I mean, technically I'm a minister of communications, I said in air quotes, that's my ministry here, but it's a very finite ministry. I know what my skill sets are, and they're confined to that area. Whereas as a deacon, really, there's very little you can't do short of, learning, few things related to the Liturgy of the Eucharist.
Right. No, that's true. Well, it's interesting because I was having a conversation, because every now and then I'll see somebody who's involved, a man who's involved, and it seems like, good fodder for a diaconate. And I went up to him and I was like, hey, listen, have you thought about it? And he was like, well, I don't feel worthy. And I'm like, stop. And I do believe that that's holding back a lot of men.
Yeah.
The idea of worthiness. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, none of us are worthy of salvation. I mean, that's period. But yes, there is that, sure you are. You can be, you got to get that idea of worthiness, out of your mind. What you did back then, what you're doing now, you've gone to confession, right? Now you're doing this, right? Yes, jump in, come on in. And it's just discernment. I've said, at the beginning, it's just discernment. It's just the learning, and at any point you could say, you're right, this is not for me. But if you don't, if you don't start.
That's a good point.
Right.
And investigate it. I know they have meetings, every now and then,
mm-hmm.
Just the informational meetings, or go up to any deacon. My gosh, they'll love to talk about it. I was interested in,
I will say it does seem like the deacons have to do a lot of, or not have to, but as part of their ministry, do a lot of PR for the diaconate.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't met a deacon yet that wasn't open to getting people in.
Give any deacon that I know, give them a chance to talk about it.
Yeah.
Bring you in. We'll bring you in. Short of knocking on doors, we'll bring you in.
For anybody, for the single men that are out there who have considered the diaconate, that's the only ones I ever say, put the brakes on a little bit. Because, as if I remember the rubrics correctly, if you're a single man who becomes a deacon, you cannot marry.
That is correct.
Yes. So if you're a married man, you're in. And if your wife dies, I read up on this too, mm-hmm. you're pretty much out, unless... There's a weird caveat to that if you have young children, that still need to be raised, you can marry if you still have young children.
Right.
I see what you mean.
The Vatican is great with rubrics. So
good stuff. And that's correct.
Yeah.
Although the high majority of the deacons, we do have some with young children, mm-hmm. but majority don't.
Yeah.
And that is correct. If you're single, you're celibate to become a priest.
Right.
Help But sure, no, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
give it some thought.
Give it some thought. But yes, if you become a widower, then you are not to remarry.
That is true. So, so I mean, there are, you know, listen, every person who becomes a clergy member, there is a certain level of sacrifice to that. Mm-hmm. And the thing you're choosing to become a member of the clergy, you know, just have to get, like you said earlier, you open eyes, you know, it's a discernment process. So you really want to understand all those sort of smaller elements. Right.
Mm-hmm. I remember one of the things they asked my wife, because we also have to go through an interview, the both, you know, husband and wife, you know, we do it here in Camden. You know, well, how's it going to feel not sitting next to your husband, you know, during Mass?
Good question.
You know? And, you know, I think her answer was like, well, I'm not focused on my husband during Mass.
Good answer.
Oh, great answer.
And it's like, it's right, you know? And, you know, you know, she'll come to the Mass and, you know, we'll you know, sign a peace. We'll look at each other and nod. My nice. Daughter, nod, you know? And yeah. then, you know, so, yeah, I think that was the best answer ever.
That yeah, that's idea. You guys sound like you make a great team.
We're a good team. Yeah, I don't think I could have done it without her. Actually, you know, without that support,
right?
100%.
I will say, of the deacons I know, they all say the exact same thing. The having a supportive wife really does make all the difference in the world. And I've met a number of the wives, and they are saintly folk.
Oh my gosh, they're fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking that your schedule can fluctuate often, so you have to have.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, you know, just your regular routine. So, you know, Sunday morning. So it's like, am I doing 8:10 or 10:11:30, or am I doing, you know, Saturday afternoon 4:30? And then Cherry's like, all right, so, you know, I guess if you're doing 11 o'clock, I'll go shopping at 9 o'clock, and then, you know, and then I'll go to 11:30 Mass, and then, you know, but wait a minute, you have 11:30 and baptism, so then I'll go later, and then, you know, so it works, you know. It's just, you know, we constantly, you know, working as a team. Mm-hmm. Now this weekend, we have a diaconate retreat, which tomorrow night we're going to go down and up the over to Malvern.
Okay.
So,
over. We'll call it over.
Is it, we'll call it
you're,
over?
You're going
I think
left.
It's kind of up and over. Yeah, we're going left. We're going
left.
Go west. Young deacon. So, you know, we get to go, you know, and we're both looking forward to that. And it's for deacons, deacon wives, and I believe the candidates are going to be there as well.
Oh, nice.
So I'm really looking forward to this weekend. It's a turn off the cell phone with the exception of a couple times because I got to check on the kids.
And, sure.
You
know,
right.
But leaving it in the room, just, you know, quieting. And Malvern's beautiful. I don't know if you've been.
I've never been there.
Neither have I.
Have you?
Really?
I've actively avoided it. And I really should stop doing
that. You need to stop doing that. It's just, the grounds are gorgeous.
I would like to
there's
go.
There's a beautiful grotto with the Blessed Mother. Mm. And, you know, just sit there and do a rosary. It's just like surrounded by nature. Hills. It's beautiful.
I really do.
Deer, you know, yearning for running streams. It's fantastic.
It's my kind of place.
Yeah.
In high school, or in college, I guess it was, a number of my college friends would go there, and they would go there for the purpose of only drinking in the rooms. And I don't know, that kind of soured it on me. I was like, you know what? If that's what's going on there, I'm not interested. But and it was only until a couple of years ago, somebody brought up Malvern to me again, and I still had that college expectation of Malvern. And now I find out that it's this beautiful, lovely, bucolic area.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would like to go.
You know, we could have a staff retreat there.
You could.
For one day. Not a week. We can do it like one day.
Just overnight. Like a weekend. We're just on a weekend.
I don't want to spend the overnights with my staff, but or any of my colleagues for that matter. Matter of fact, I need to do silent retreat by myself somewhere.
You? Silent retreat?
By myself. but no, yeah. I, to your point, I have heard lots of great things about Malvern. And to our listeners, if you haven't considered it, but you've heard it as well, if you don't count my college friends, I've only heard wonderful things about it. So you really should consider it.
Yeah.
Do you mind me asking what age group your kids are in? You said you have five.
My personal children?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, your personal children.
So as a teacher for 34 years.
Gotcha.
You know,
I'm just curious.
People say your kids. So my little son's 31.
Okay.
I have a daughter, Hannah, who is, well, Zachary, 31. Hannah, 29. Let's see. Ethan is 23. Would be 23. Amory is 21. And Juna is 16.
Oh, wow. Very nice.
Yeah, I
asked also because you were saying when you were going through the diaconate, so I'm trying to, in my mind, think how young they were to see, like, were they open to learning from you, like, because they were too little, but they weren't too little for
they
the most part.
Little.
Yeah,
right.
You could share with them and things like that.
Yep. Exactly.
Which probably made it a little easier as well with, like, child care and things like that when going through
the
diaconate.
And the older ones, I watched the younger ones.
There you go.
So that was very helpful because, like I said, Tuesdays, Thursdays, we'd be out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for maybe stop at Wawa, get our coffee, go to diaconate. It's a regular thing.
Now, I've never gotten the impression of you as being the shy and retiring type. And I say that because you are actually the subject of one of my favorite photos of all time that I took for the diocese. I don't know if it made it in the paper or not. I'm not entirely certain if it ever made it.
I'm lost too. I'm really kind of a little nervous. Where he's going
I know.
With this.
I'm not getting excited. No, spoiler. Like,
I sent you the photo and you didn't use it in the paper. There's
you
a photo.
Did?
Yeah. It came, I believe it was from the Christmas Eve Mass at, I believe, Holy Family, before you were a deacon.
I know which. No, it was used. I know exactly what you're okay. talking about. Well, so, this was at Lady of Lourdes Hospital. Oh, no, hospital. Oh my God. Lady of Lourdes Church.
Okay, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was Christmas Eve, and I'm.
I love it so much.
So, my whole family's in the first row. All the kids. It's like seven of us, you know, and I think my grandkid might have been there. I mean, I'm wearing a Santa Claus coat now with pictures of Santa Claus all over it, and I'm in all red, and I have the beard, you know.
Beautiful suit. I mean, it's a gorgeous suit. It was a Santa suit, but not a Santa suit.
Like Cole Burr fur, you know. Yeah. No. It was like a suit jacket with Santa's on it. Yeah. You know, and you definitely used it. Maybe I saw it online, but I probably have it in my phone because it was one of those things where I'm like, I gotta save this.
I probably have it online. Actually, I know I have it online. That's how I sent it to her.
I don't remember seeing it the other day.
Okay, that one may have to go on.
Okay, we're going to have to get social media stuff.
So my wife works at Guardian Angel Regional with Paulsboro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I've been fortunate to be able to do retreats for them. So I've been doing Lenten retreats and Advent retreats. And when I do the Advent retreat, I have my cleric on at the collar and everything, and I wear that jacket. And it's always a hit.
Well, that's the thing. So, you know, I bring this up in a way that only can be done on an audio form. You are a unique looking human being as well.
Here's the deal.
You know, that lineup of deacons, right? When you were ordained, all right? There were a lot of great deacons up there. But the eyes were drawn to just one person the entire time. And that's been the same way through every step of the pack. So, I mean, do you mind us talking about, sort of the uniqueness of
it? My ears are red, but that's fine.
No. When I first saw you, and I guess it was Carl Peters told me you were a college professor. I was like, yep, checks out. So he's got a nice long beard. You know, always great hair, fantastic hair. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, but earrings in both ears.
Mm-hmm. I think they have crosses on them, though. They're pretty cool.
Two of them have crosses. Yeah
it's pretty cool.
Oh, well, you know,
you really notice. Mm-hmm.
We're journalists. We're very good. And then you got the tats up the arms.
Right.
And just to go a little further, you are in a snazzy suit vest right now.
Very.
With a nice,
artistic tie.
You are the very definition of a style plate, mm-hmm. a fashion plate. And I love that because that's one of the unique elements of being a deacon, that you can have that sort of thing. You know, I mean, yes, you're in collar and jacket
in collar and jacket. So, you know, usually like RCIA, my first three or four meetings with them, I'm always wearing the collar and everything. But after a while, I'm coming right from work, and they see me as a person. So, you know, sometimes I wear it, sometimes I don't. I mean, there are some dioceses in the country that they're not allowed to wear them.
Right.
You know, a lot of them are that they don't allow their deacons to wear clerics. They have to just wear regular clothes.
That's actually somewhat recent in this diocese, too.
Wearing the clerics, yeah.
Only, I think, during this administration. And
really?
I don't recall that I ever saw a deacon wearing clerics.
But, you know, it's interesting. Growing up, and I was raised in Mays Landing, so St. Vincent's, I didn't know deacons existed. We never saw a deacon. I never saw a deacon until I returned to the church, back in, 2000 or, 99 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I grew up with a great deacon, so Deacon Matt Hanrahan, he was one of the best. Since passed, I don't think you would know him. But he was a great guy. And actually, that's he was the reason I had sort of like the thought for many years about becoming a deacon. But the thing was, I looked at it from a very limited perspective because I only really ever interacted with deacons as part of the Mass. So it was the idea of being up on the altar and celebrating Mass and things like that, and wearing the garments and doing the thing. I never took into account the person-to-person stuff, you know. Right. They walked into the sacristy. That was the last time you ever saw them. You know, I was like, that's my kind of gig. Let me perform on the stage, do my thing, and then walk off.
Stage. Well, come on now.
That's just what I mean. No, hold on. I didn't say it was a stage. I'm saying that's how I viewed it as a teenager.
Dean Johnson is invited back every week. I think I just found my new co-host.
I think you may have. But I never translated that into the actual spiritual nature. I only saw it, tactically, of what they were doing up there. I was like, oh yeah, I could definitely hold the thing and do the thing and talk the thing. It never occurred to me the pastoral elements of it. And talking to you now, you realize that certainly the liturgical stuff is important, but it sounds to me like you really make your bread and butter.
Liturgical stuff is the icing on the cake.
There's a great way of putting it.
And it really is. It's the dessert of the meal. I'm humbled to be able to be up, in the sanctuary. I'm humbled to be able to elevate the cup. It's a wonderful, humbling experience being, on my knees and the consecration is happening right there. Yeah. I'm just like, boom, And it's the dessert. It's the icing. Hmm. And then everything else is, is everything else. It's the iceberg, I guess, too, right?
crashing down. Although, that being said, I still say to this day that the clerics or that the deacons have the best vestments. First of all, you get sleeves
You know why we have sleeves, though, right?
No, actually.
Because we're workers. We actually naturally need the sleeves to work.
Of course. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
So he's got the sleeves.
That does make perfect sense.
Plus, sleeves. I love the fact, I always thought that the stole sideways, diagonal rather, that pops. I really like it. I mean, from a fashion standpoint, the deacon wear is really cool. Like, even to the point, I apologize, listeners, this is the kind of stuff I'm into. Not only do they have the sleeves, but they also have a unique embroidery, depending on the vestment you're wearing, embroidery that kind of looks like an H across their chest, which looks fantastic. So I'm just telling you, if you want to look good up on the altar, not the stage, the altar.
Thank you.
You're think about the diaconate.
Yeah.
From a fashion standpoint.
Dalmatics are nice.
What'd you say?
Dalmatics are nice.
Remember when I said I was looking into becoming a deacon for a certain? The first thing I did was check out the vestments and see what everything is. By the way, since I'm on this path.
Yeah.
Do you have your own vestments, or do you just use the parish vestments?
Both.
Okay.
I did actually. I did go on. This is scaring me how much we're similar, but I did go on. You have the rose, right? So it's roses used twice a year, right? Mm-hmm. Once during Lent, once during Advent. So since it's so infrequent, the parish doesn't have it's on for so I was like, well, I'm not just going to wear a pink or a rose stole. I want the whole thing,
sure.
So actually that was the first the first Dalmatic I bought was that one, and I'm like, yes.
That makes me happy. Do you, so I have a lot of priest friends that travel, and they actually have travel chasubles and travel albs and stuff like that. Mm. Do you have travel gear for
No, I just, when I had to go down to Mace Landing and stuff, I just took my stuff.
You got there?
Yeah. Okay. Although, I was able to use the Dalmatic that was there. I just took my alb and, so they had stuff there, which was nice.
See, it's this kind of technical stuff that I appreciate. Yeah. Apparently, the spiritual stuff I have no time for, but this kind of stuff was interesting.
Well, you kind of brought it up, and I thought it was a dumb question, but now I'm going to answer it. What is the symbol that's on the deacon's sash?
So a deacon is, it's Christ the servant, right? We're configured to Christ the servant. So it would be kind of like a towel. Think about Good Friday. Holy Thursday.
Sure.
Holding over there. So, yeah, well, it's a servant. Priest or persona Christi, we are configured to Christ the servant. So that's, we are there to serve.
Hmm. Isn't that cool?
That is cool. I honestly never knew the thought process that went in.
That's why you see it on the diaconate cross. It has the cross with the stole over there. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. I like pomp and circumstance. As the listeners of this podcast know, I very much enjoy pomp and circumstance, which is why
bells and smells.
Exactly right, bells and smells.
going in the notebook.
No, that's not mine. I can't take credit for that.
I've never heard that.
But you have definitely worked your way into being my my replacement co-host. I'll tell you that. But that stuff, you know, that stuff rings true for people. So, but it's a terrible thing to want to become a deacon for. So definitely look. That's why the discernment process is very important.
Fashion is not should not be your part of your discernment. I think it's interesting for that the parishioners, you know, they can see that you are, I don't know, here goes the air things again, a regular person, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. living in a secular, you know, world, but yet being, you know, a minister. You know, being a cleric. So I play music. I mentioned I was in music ministry. And
we got pictures of that, too.
So, yeah.
Oh, that I did see the picture
of. Because you're right in my face in Man Up.
That's
I'm right here, and he's literally right here. And I'm trying everything I can not to look at him. Or not to make a face. I'm like,
that's
how
hard.
Do I look right now? He's like, right on me. So I am in a band, and we played at an outdoor bar restaurant. And I had a whole bunch of parishioners show up.
Oh, nice!
Yeah,
nice.
Which is really
That's cool.
You know, yeah. I mean, we're playing good, you know, good classic rock kind of stuff. But but you know, they, you know, then they see me, you know, up on the altar and baptisms and, you know, RCIA and all the other stuff, baptism prep and stuff like that.
It kind of goes back to what you were saying. It takes that idea that you have to be pious to become like
just be you.
You're just trying to do the best we can and serve God in whatever way you're called to.
God knows who you are. Just be you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, one last thing about being a deacon that I've always enjoyed as well is the fact that technically you are not you don't work for the pastor, you work for the bishop.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. We are to be obedient to the bishop. Mm-hmm. And the bishop is who assigns us
Yeah, that's another one of the you get a good bishop, things are good.
Is that the same with all holy orders?
Well, technically, yeah.
Oh no, the bishop is to the Pope.
Oh right, yes. Right. But I'm
So that's holy orders. Oh no.
Oh, good point.
Okay, sorry.
No, you're right. Yeah. That's because
these are important questions. That's why we have this.
Well, you're also a journalist, so you got to make sure you get all your information correct.
I do write Falla, South Jersey, mm-hmm. and we're stationed in Bridgeton, fallasouthjersey.com.org. Check it out. And I'm also an educator. Like I mentioned before, 34 years. I'm retiring from public education at the end of this school year.
Oh, congratulations.
After 34 years.
Well done.
To do journalism full-time.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say that in your company, though.
No, that's not a problem.
She already was asking. It's like, oh, can you cover it?
It's not a problem. We, as Jen well knows, we put people to work constantly.
Yeah.
And sometimes we even pay them.
Sometimes.
I wouldn't know.
But... I wouldn't know.
Not currently. That being
so
said.
So I've heard.
Did we mention that at all?
No, so I want to mention that. I'm going to read the, maybe I should ask you to read it, the very first, like, two lines. Because I thought the call, so yeah, he's like,
oh, not me.
Ears are going to turn red again. So listeners, please pick up the most recent issue of the Catholic Star Herald and visit online. Deacon wrote a beautiful column about vocations, not his vocation story that he shared with us today, but vocations in general. And I read the first line. And first, maybe two lines, and I was like, where is this going? And then I read the next line, I was like, that's where it's going, and I can't wait to see where it keeps going. Because I was hooked after the first two lines, because it was not what I was expecting, and I love it. I'm going to read it. You want to read it?
You can read it.
All right. I feel like you should read it.
You want me to read it?
I do. All right.
Less than two blocks from the house where I grew up, there was a forest. The neighborhood. Are you laughing at me now? So
my, I apologize.
You know, so obviously this is a thing you would listen into. If you watch this, you would just see him smirk.
I know. I do not approve of that.
Maybe because I was using a Garrison Keillor. Maybe it was the Garrison Keillor voice. You know, less than two blocks from the house.
We don't have enough time left. You keep it in. I want to hear it.
Okay, all right, real quick,
please.
Less than two blocks from the house where I grew up, there was a forest. Where the neighborhood kids would seek wild adventures, traversing an odyssey of wild animals, harrowing cliffs, and even quicksand. Actually, it was more like a small patch of woods, bunny rabbits and squirrels, slight inclines, and soft sand. But in the imagination of a young explorer, the escapades were real.
I mean, come on. How can you not keep reading after that? Okay. Everybody, you have to pick up the latest issue and read that.
Yes.
And you'll hear
Thank you.
How it goes from the woods and on.
If I could just say, the reason I was laughing was not because of the writing, nor was it because of the reading. It's just I just wasn't mentally prepared for the contrived nature of making the guy read his own writing. That was what I was.
Oh, I had that plan for as soon as you said you were coming on the podcast, I wanted you to read it.
I kind of wish you'd give me a heads up.
Would have been nice too over here.
Nope. Wow. Then somebody may have said, no, I can't take that chance.
Jeez. Oh, my God. Another classic final few minutes of the episode. I appreciate that. Well, Deacon Dean Johnson, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate
my pleasure.
That.
I had a great time.
This is great. I have a sneaking suspicion this will not be the last time that listeners hear you, and I know for certain that it will not be the last time our readers read your writing, because mm-hmm. I know Jen's already got a plan for that. So thank you very much for coming into the vault with us today. We really appreciate that. Jen, thank you very much for making all this happen and for doing a great job on the Vocations Edition, as always. And to our listeners, we will talk to you again next week. Thanks, everybody. See you.